Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, you. Hello to you. Well, it's not goodbye, is it? That comes at the end. So it's got to be hello. Okay, after telling everyone who the hell would buy a new car, I used to have a joke that you'd lose half the value of the car as soon as you drive it off the forecourt and into a tree. Bit of fun. Anyway, I always used to think, who would buy a nice car the way that I drive? That would be crazy. Anyway, I bought a nice car. Also, it's electronic. Electronic is it's one of the latest cars. It's got all the electronic gadgets. No, it's electric, stupid. Okay, so that'll be me. Beep, beep, toot, toot. Okay, so anyway, now you know everything about that, which I really wanted to get off my chest. Oh, do buy my book. I've really tried hard with it. I think it's actually very good. I think it's the best thing I've done. Anyway, it's available now. Please, can you buy it? I have done all these podcasts for Bottle, you might say. So if you've enjoyed the podcast, you'll like the book more, because I'll tell you this one, I think I put a lot more effort into the book than I have any of the podcasts. And I mean that with love and respect. Today I'm speaking to Nick Mohammed. What a nice guy. And it's your lucky day, because he's doing Mr. Swallow, the best and worst of Mr. Swallow. It's at the Duke of York's Theatre in London's West End. And that's the 5th to the 9th of September, and they will get snapped up because he's one of the best live performers you'll ever see, and one of the nicest guys you'll ever not be. Anyway, I had a lovely chat with Nick Mohammed, and here he is now. I said hello, and I said lovely outfit. It's yes. A pink ensemble.
And I said that on the way here, someone asked me if I was going to see Barbie.
Good start.
Which is a great start.
And you haven't seen it, have you?
Which I've not seen.
Because you prefer to watch the one with all the guys in, don't you?
I try not to see anything with women in.
Yes.
And it's very difficult to avoid. I mean, don't take this out of context anyway. don't screen grab this. I haven't seen it. It's more a question of, can I get away with watching that on the smaller screen? Because evening out to the cinema, having little kiddies is a real treat. So I have to be very picky and choosy about what I go and see. So I think I'm probably going to see Oppenheimer.
Yeah, because that's got a lot of boys in it, hasn't it?
Because it's all about men, and it's mainly men in it.
Yeah.
Men who dragged us into the war.
Yes. I've seen both, and I would say, no, actually, I don't want to say anything negative about, they're both lovely pieces. Yes, people's work, isn't it?
Have you seen Oppenheimer?
Of course.
Ah.
Of course. I'm an absolute film buff. I'm an absolute cinema head.
And amazing?
Yeah, pretty good. But I would say you could shave 40 minutes off it and still be good.
Oh, is it? It's a three-hour one, isn't it?
It's a sort of Kitson sort of style.
Sort of Kitson shave. Compare. It's like sort of Kitson comparing, like an opening.
His shave opening. Shave a bit off, boy.
3 hours. And now your first act of the evening.
He's very good.
He is brilliant. Yeah, I love great. Kitson.
But I think comedy shows should be 45.
Someone has famously said, haven't they, that the Fringe and things like The Fringe would benefit a hell of a lot if everyone's shows were 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Because you could charge less.
Yeah.
You could do all your good stuff.
Get home sooner.
People would see more.
Yeah.
Get home sooner.
It's an idea. It's an idea.
I just feel that if it's a slippery slope, then you might as well just sort of not do it.
Do a quick 10. Yeah, not do it.
Not do it at all. That's the ultimate Fringe,
isn't
it?
That's why I'm doing this. Yeah, lovely. You're not
How much are you charging?
$12.99.
Are you in the Fringe guide?
$12.99 for an Instagram story. Take it or leave it. Take it or leave it.
Sam Campbell's doing that. Isn't he doing 10 minutes in the Grand? He is, isn't he?
That's
He's
so
doing 10
funny.
Minutes in the Grand, and his ticket prices reflect that. So I think it's like $2.99 a ticket. So I think he
That's
wants to sell out.
So
but he
funny.
Says the 10 minutes is like brilliant.
That is so funny.
I wanted to do a bus tour as Swallow, as a show, and still might possibly do it one day, but it practically it's impossible. But to have a bus sort of pull up outside the Pleasance, sort of get everyone, get like with a mega foot, like just shout, scream people's names, yeah, get them on the bus.
Yeah. And well, you know their names.
Say again?
Well, you know their names.
No, I'll just scream names. I'll just try and get people to come on and then just get instantly stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
But oh, it's like the bus tour from hell, basically.
That's great.
Or then I at one point researched into what it would take for me to get like a driving license so I could drive a coach.
Yeah.
But not tell anyone, I'm sort of telling everyone now, but not tell anyone that I'd done it. And then at one point, just taking over sort of the driving of the bus and the audience, oh, like especially like bombing it down the A1 or something, just sort of just going 60 miles an hour.
Yeah, kidnapping everyone.
But yeah, pointing stuff out. I don't know, it probably would be dangerous, wouldn't it?
I think I can drive a coach.
Legally?
I'll surprise you here.
Legally?
I think it's on my driving license.
Oh, did you do a special? You can drive a minibus, can't you? Up to...
Yeah.
I think I can drive
a big minibus because I got my driving license so long ago. It was in the day where they gave you a... They didn't give you a motorbike. Here you go. You'll need this. But I remember seeing your comedy shows.
Mm.
We do say comedy, don't we?
Mental health pieces.
Before I started comedy, and I could not believe how good they were.
Oh, thank you.
And
Which one did you see?
Oh, I seen like two or three
okay.
that I couldn't believe didn't get the award at Edinburgh.
Oh, bless you.
And I think you couldn't believe it either.
What?
But you did one was this intricate magic thing. And maybe this was when I was doing comedy. It was so intricate. It was so amazing. And I was like, how is this not nominated? And I think you even said in the show, how, like, you know, as a joke, like a throwaway thing.
Oh, I think I'm allowed to say it as Mr. Swallow.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I absolutely agree. It was insane.
I hope I didn't say that. But even as Mr. Swallow, that's a bit... I might have said...
No, as a joke, every comic says it. I think it was maybe on the
Wednesday when they come out.
Yeah, everyone does it. Like, I've done it.
I think I've had a couple of those fringes. It's probably quite vulgar to talk about this stuff, especially on the day of the Fringe opening, right?
Oh, yeah.
When we're recording this.
Good luck to everyone.
Good luck to everybody. See you at the end.
I just hope that you're all looking after yourself because it's not a nice ride sometimes.
It's horrid.
Horrible,
mum.
Turgid.
I actually love it. And weirdly always have. Like since first going up, I first went up with Footlights in 2004, but then I did my first solo show the year after in 2005. Went every year until 2010 and then did every other year up until 2018.
And you like it.
And I do. It's an odd thing. And don't get me wrong, it's not that I've had like a blast every time I've been up. There's definitely been, not tons, but like two or three of those Edinburghs where I thought, no, the show's not quite right, or it's not quite, you know, it's just not quite gone the way I'd wanted it to. But I don't know, there's something about the discipline of it. There's something about... Even when your show is not quite right, you do come to the end of it and think, okay, now at least I know why something is not. And even to be fair, as recently as 2018, I would say I made a very big mistake in that 2018 show.
What was it?
The mistake I made, and this was a Vanishing Elephant show. And don't get me wrong, it wasn't a bad show. Like it was fine, and I really enjoyed doing it. It was an out and out magic show, and it was the first one I'd done since doing the musical. So I'd done like Dracula, and then I'd done Houdini, and I was maybe going to do another musical. But I thought, oh, I'd just have a break from it and just do a solo show again. And the biggest mistake I realised was that, doing magic shows are really difficult because magic is just quite difficult.
Yeah, imagine.
The two mistakes, well, three actually. One was I didn't preview it at all. And since 2014, I'd never previewed before Edinburgh.
Really?
Well, because the musicals were all, they were basically theatre pieces. So we just rehearsed like it was a play. So we'd rehearse every day in July with a director and choreographer and then you sort of present your goods. So it was like, it was rehearsing a musical really. So you wouldn't really, I wasn't really able to take the material out of context and gig with it like I'd done for previous shows. But for a magic show, I should have probably just gone back to doing that.
Get the cards out, give them a shuffle. You know, so to say, pick a card, any card,
practice
that sort of
the
thing.
Sleight of hand. Don't just think it's real magic and then it's going to work on its own.
Yeah.
But literally the mechanics of even just getting people out or knowing where people, or that people might end up saying different things to what you kind of want them to. So all of that, I thought, and that was a small thing. But the biggest one was realising that I can't be the consummate host, which you sort of need to be as a magician, yeah, because people need to pay attention to what you're saying, sort of say the tricks work, because they need to follow the instructions,
yeah,
in a way that they, so they need to pay attention. But I then can't do that and then play the fool, which is Mr. Swallow,
oh,
at the same time. Like, they really fight each other,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know why I didn't clock that.
It, yeah.
And then I realised literally from day one of putting it in front of an audience, like,
oh, no,
oh, I, that they have to sort of, the audience have to sort of, you know, see sort of two sides to me. They have to be sort of almost the Nick Mohammed side of me, which is like, oh, now you need to do this, and we all need to come up here, and you need, yeah, to stand there, and can you sit there, and can you read this, and you do. And then the Mr. Swallow sound is like, oh no, don't do that, which is sort of, you know, the kind of clumsy side. But I couldn't be both.
So how do you do it?
Well, I just sort of had to sort of navigate it, but it wasn't, it just didn't quite work in the way that I think the ensemble shows have worked, where I have, you know, something else is driving the show. Usually Mr. Goldsworth, or the machine of the show, is we've got to put on the show. And Mr. Swallow is constantly on the back foot. I couldn't do that in that magic show because I had to be front foot.
Yeah.
And then the other big mistake was calling it Mr. Swallow and the Vanishing Elephant.
Sorry, I did have an idea for you. Paint, yes, half your side one thing.
White.
Yeah. Half your side white.
And one black.
Yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant white and pitch black.
Just an idea. So if you do want to take that forward, let me know.
I will, I will. What should I call the show? Yin and Yang.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And then just to finish this, I mean, not that it's interesting for anyone, but just because it started on this path and I just sort of venting some old Edinburgh gripes from 5 years ago. And then the other thing. Well, no, the main point I'm making is that you're never too old to make mistakes, which I kind of like, because you're always like learning. But the other big thing I realized was that up until then, and it's still true now, for all the Mr. Swallow shows I do, they often kind of have a central idea that feels like Mr. Swallow is the absolute worst person in the world to be doing. So if it's a lecture on how to improve your memory, he's so distracted and can't remember stuff. And then it always ends with, oh, but actually he can, because I memorize a deck of cards.
Yeah.
Or the musical is like, well, he can't do a musical, and then it's a musical, or the Houdini water thing. It's like, well, he's never going to do the water tank, because surely he would never really, really be able to do it. And then it ends with the water tank. And then calling the show Mr. Swallow and the Vanishing Elephant, literally the opening line of the show is, elephant in the room, we haven't managed to get one. And the curtains open and there's a big empty cage on the stage. But the audience are like, oh, yeah, okay. But the audience were then waiting for a payoff for it.
Yeah,
obviously the payoff, like, I can't really then make an elephant appear in the Pleasance.
Well, have you thought about dressing up two friends front and back?
Well, I then dress as an elephant for the end of a show. So there was a sort of semi payoff, but it wasn't it wasn't impressive in the way that it kind of needed to be.
Yeah.
I'd sort of flipped the sort of maybe format that people had sort of got used to. So I realised that.
But then they see you half face.
Yeah, and now that's a really good payoff.
Cuddle Club. Cuddle Club. Cuddle Club. I think that's enough. You put so much effort into your shows, and do you ever think, I can't be fucked?
But you know what? I just like seeing, I like trying to do stuff that I'd like to go and see. So I would like to go and see someone do something death-defying. Like, I'd like to see someone do something that I know has taken them ages to. Like, I've always referenced this in previous interviews, but like Torvald and Dean. I love Torvald and Dean.
Yeah.
Just the sheer amount of effort to watch their one dance, say that's 4 minutes or three and a half minutes, to see something that is the pinnacle of someone just like dancing on ice.
Yeah.
To like to do something that is so fundamentally difficult. I'm not by any means suggesting anything I do is like that, but like
well,
that difficult.
But it's hard.
To do what they do, you know, it's so physically demanding, like the stress and the sacrifice. I love that. It's the same with escapology, which is why I did escapology. And to a degree, mind reading or something of that ilk, because you're watching a process.
Oh.
And so to witness a process.
Right, okay.
It's the struggle that is the thing that's the
mind reading. You've got a chance to do mind reading now, because you have 5 questions to guess what I'm thinking
about.
Okay,
perfect.
So we're going to see if you can
dive
mind read.
In.
Okay, so I'm thinking about it now.
Mm.
You've got 5 questions to guess what it is.
Is it smaller than you?
They come in different sizes.
Is the one you're thinking about touching smaller than you?
It's probably, they're all probably smaller than me.
Is it a living thing?
No.
Has it been made by a human?
Yes, very much so.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is it edible?
Nope. Mm. Final question. You could just go for it now.
Well, no, I'd like to use my question and then go for it.
It's impossible game anyway.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm taking it so seriously, like I'm going to work it out. Is it just like a sort of like a onesie or a nice set of pyjamas?
It's corduroy trousers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought so. Yeah.
You lost that game, okay?
Yeah, I lost it. Yeah.
Nice Edinburgh shows, but you did lose the game.
How long did it take to think of the concept for that game?
You know when you were talking about...
You think that you wanted to do a podcast and then...
You know when you were talking about how much you like when people put F into stuff?
Yes.
I thought, oh dear.
Yes.
Who's that guy that said, I don't want any club that wants to have me?
Oscar Wilde?
Yeah, he's not saying that about a cuddle club. We can't talk about any of your acting roles.
Well, we were talking about this just before we went on air.
Yeah.
We landed like that.
Before we went live.
We went live.
That's live.
Because I'm a member of the Screen Actors Guild.
Oh, I thought it was because you'd been Me Too'd.
Oh. As a member of the Screen Actors Guild.
And the Me Too.
Let's just say.
Do you know why I said that? It's because you're the least likely
person to get Me Too.
Yeah, sometimes you can say that.
What does that say about me?
I think you're just a fat and nice. This is what I did want to ask you, actually. How are you so well balanced and nice in this sick industry?
Seedy industry.
Yeah.
Oh, God, well, there's a lot to talk about in that. Mm. Well, to answer the question directly, partly because I have an incredible wife.
That's
kiddies.
That's helpful.
And that is incredibly helpful. Who is not part of the industry? She is an amazing teacher.
Oh.
So we can kind of, and you know, we've actually known each other, God, for 20 years. Like we were at university together, but we didn't date then. But so we've known each other for years, married for 8 years. It's that thing of that we kind of come home and sort of share very, very different stories. So we can sort of bring each other sort of back to reality. Because sometimes, you know, stuff she's dealing with is sort of mad in the context of what she's doing. And equally, we know that this industry can be very mad. So there's a bit of that. But I've also just been really lucky that I've just got to work with people who are mostly very, very nice and very grounded. And actually, that thing of like, you know, never meet your heroes because you might be disappointed. Like, I've been lucky, and in touch with, long may it continue, to meet some real heroes, and they've been wonderful. And you think, God, you know, have been superstars in their area, and you know, and they're just the most wonderful people, very grounded and very
so nice.
So, and yeah, and I just think it just makes you feel very positive that actually, oh no, you can be in this industry, you can love it, and you can be, you know, as successful, however you judge it was success, but like, and still keep a level head. I mean, it feels nuts. I mean, some of the horror, and we will have a lot of horror stories to share, and we can share them now. Like, but some of the stuff that I have witnessed or heard about and seen, you just think, I mean, how does someone get to that point? Like, how do you get to a point where you get a taste of fame or you get something and
you're taking
you
it so seriously.
Decide to change your whole personality.
Oh,
I sort of think that it must have been in there already and that actually fame exaggerates.
Or you've just got a big crack in you and and you're filling it with the wrong things, like because your value system's... And then you start to take it seriously because it's all like hot air or...
And there's definitely... And this industry... I think things are... Or at least there's conversations about change, which hopefully will instill change. I mean, I don't know about you, but I certainly felt when I first started out, it was sort of peak toxic because it was, you know, I mean, for all kinds of reasons in terms of diversity and inclusion, but, you know, mental health side, that wasn't even talked about, but clearly there was a lot of issues, but, you know, no one, you know, everyone was quite scared about talking about certain things. There was a lot of drugs, a lot of drinking. It was very alpha. It was whoever shouts loudest wins, a lot of bullying, you know. That's just literally the life. And, you know, and some telly that I'd worked on, you know, there's one particular show that springs to mind, which I won't name. But like, you know, and it was just accepted as the norm. Absolute norm. And if not the etiquette. And I remember once voicing something and not in any kind of like sort of whistleblowing kind of way, but just sort of even just saying, oh, it's strange, isn't it, that this is the norm? And it was very much, enjoy it. It's sort of like, it's the opposite of like what hopefully people are like, you know, put your hand up, say something and find, you know, let's make a stand against it. But it was, if anything, encouraged, like, you know, that kind of bullish sort of, you know, go in there and think you're the, you know, create an ego, you know, yeah. Ego will get you places.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, this is a podcast you can take to work in a way. Eric, all this time you've been talking and we could have been hugging. Okay, are you ready for the quick fire round? Okay, are you good at admin, short of for administration?
Yes.
Are you?
Oh, yeah, love admin.
Actually,
I'll sometimes spend the whole day doing it, like feel really good for doing a whole day's worth of admin.
Is your wife good at admin?
Yes, like if she for work, yes,
but not at the home.
No.
So who's renewing the car insurance?
Oh, me.
Right,
me.
That's interesting.
But then the weirdest thing is I've had to get a weird old insurance because I couldn't.
You can't get it if you
couldn't get insured.
You can't get it if you're
an actor. But I can now. But I think one get around was to call myself a producer at one point. And now I've got special insurance, which does insure actors. But it is really weird.
It's so mad. It's because you're too famous.
Well, I don't think it's that.
I think it is. No, because Brett couldn't get insured on a motorbike or something. And
Because
it's like you're too... It's too sexy.
They're like, we can't put him on a motorbike. It'd just become even sexier.
What about his sexier face? You know, it could be dragged around on the gravel.
I was told I don't have the same worries as Brett in terms of being too sexy on a motorbike. But I was told that because they knew I was a comedian, because they looked me up.
Yeah.
On the call, they looked me up. They were like, right, I can see that you're you're not gonna get in.
Well, can't you do it on the internet?
Say again?
Can't you do it on the internet?
No, because they couldn't put profession, like, to kind of... And there wasn't an option for profession. Well, there was an option for profession, but I could only put actor. I couldn't, like, put writer or producer. but I remember speaking, and then I had to phone them. They were like, oh, you have to phone. You can't just do it online. So then I phoned them, and they said, oh, well, the reason why is this. And they said specifically to me, they were like... And you could see he's sort of thinking on his feet when he was trying. He was like, oh, well, if you're a comedian, you know, you might drive to a gig and then... tell a joke and it don't go down well and someone comes and keys your car. That was one thing. And then the other thing was like, you know, you might have like Johnny Depp in your... You might offer to drive him home from a movie set. who else you might be driving home who's not insured under your third party or whatever. And so it was really odd, mad reasons.
This is
like the idea that I should say something on stage that someone might come and try and key my car. Memorising a deck of playing cards?
Send him your bloody show so he knows.
Showreel. I'll send him my showreel. I'll send him yours.
Send him Guddle Club, get a listener. Get another listener. Okay, that was just one of the quick fire rounds.
Oh, crikey.
Would you prefer one of your kids goes into show business or health and safety? But if she goes into health and safety, she's one of the real jobs worth.
That's a really good question.
Oh. They change for every person.
Yeah. Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Well, I've got three kids, so... Oh.
Just one of them is not a problem, I suppose.
Okay. I think that... I quite like the idea of a really burly Jobsworth health and safety. I really like that.
You want your kid to be burly as well?
Yeah, like a kind of a really Jobsworth sort of like, no, you know. I mean, I don't think Becca will mind me saying this, but her, like, she was sort of brought up in a way that there's a lot of health and safety, sort of like, you know, we've got three kids because it's like if one of them's ill, one to stay with, one to go and get help. Like, it's that, that's the sort of thinking behind it.
Yeah.
Ideal. So, and I don't know, I quite like a health and safety. I feel very reassured by just the chat and the kind of the level of kind. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Finn, our eldest, is quite. He would love to go into showbiz.
Oh, really?
Oh, he's a show off. Like, as in the best possible way. He likes. And he's done a Catsless Countdown with me. It hasn't come out yet.
Oh, wow.
He played Master Swallow. So he plays Mr. Swallow's son.
That's great.
Because he can genuinely he's got the memory stuff. So he can do it. Wow. He's got a proper photographic memory. So he can do it all.
Wow.
So we recorded one last year. So he was like six at the time.
No.
And he just memorized like 60 like animal flashcards in a random order and just recounted them in reverse order.
That's incredible.
Yeah, he was brilliant. Like, he's brilliant. And he said... Bear in mind, he was six. We gone up to Manchester. He said it was like the best day of his life.
Oh, wow.
He loved it.
Did you split your fee with him?
He didn't get paid.
He doesn't know that side of showbiz.
No, he doesn't know.
It's tough out there. You've got to train him. It's tough out there. Yeah. You'll get shafted by your father.
Yeah, you will.
Okay, last quick fire round question. Magicians are not just... I've written down virgins.
Yes, magicians are not just virgins. I was going to say something sort of not maybe as crude as that.
And that's where we're different.
And that's where our styles differ. Actors?
Yeah. Oh.
Well, there's a famous quote. Mm. Oh, I'm going to misquote this, which is going to be, I think by like Maslin, who was like a Victorian or Edwardian magician like hundreds of years ago, where he did this quote where he said, "A magician is an actor playing the part of a magician." I love that.
Yeah,
I really like that.
But you're saying the opposite. Yeah. So why do you like that?
I don't know.
That's interesting.
It's almost like I just did it as a way of shoehorning in that quote. No. There must be something better than that.
No,
magicians aren't just. It's really oddly phrased, isn't it?
Because yeah,
you're saying what they're not.
Question.
What they're not. It's
like, do you remember how good
I could
the
just
last
say aren't
question?
Just trees or
yeah,
something?
Yeah.
Aren't just...
Do you know how good the last question was, and then that one sort of brought it down a bit, hasn't it? God, I hope those people don't mind.
SAG.
I hope
Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah, I hope the SAGs don't mind. I can't get a fucking visa because of that. I was trying to get a visa.
Oh.
And it might get in the way of me getting a visa. So who's really suffering?
Oh, goodness me.
I know. Anyway.
The American public, not going in. What did you want to do?
Well, go and tour support for Brett on some like some fun places.
That would be fun.
Just fun, you know.
Oh, should we talk about Brett?
I guess so.
Oh, God, I love him. That would be such a good gig.
Do you think
so you
he's
need a visa?
Hunky?
Of course you do.
Do you think he's hunky?
Of course I think he's hunky, but I've always thought he's hunky.
Yeah, he's hunky.
But he's announcing those gigs and they're selling out like that, right?
Yeah, it's insane.
I gigged with him at the weekend, or not the weekend, about a couple of weekends ago, and he was amazing. Because I remember Brett saying, actually, really good advice, which was he felt he was getting like, say, 4 minutes for free at the start of any gig.
Okay, yeah.
Which is a really nice way of thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know, usually with stand-up or any kind of, you know, live comedy thing, you got to go on, you got to hit the ground, you know, they've got to trust that they're in safe hands, they've got to really be like, you know, you got to grab them and tell them that it's all going to be fine, basically.
Yeah.
And he felt like actually he had 4 minutes, he could do anything and he would be absolutely fine, and then he could get into the nuts and bolts of it, and providing you then came up with the goods, then it would be all fine. Of course you couldn't just rely on that. But when I slightly found, because I came out as like, oh my god, what's everyone? And then people are like, what the fuck is this? Like, you know, it's actually the opposite. Like,
yeah,
I have to really kind of retrain everyone.
Oh,
like, really get people, like, lead them into this sort of thing.
Oh, my
Because
god.
Otherwise they'd be like, whoa, this is
I mean, it's a swallow. You're doing a West End run with it.
I am. So I've just toured.
Yeah.
And then it's all finishing off with a week residency at the Duke of York's in September.
Oh,
5th to the 9th.
That's a lovely big one, isn't it?
It's a nice proper West Endy one. And it'll be a nice way to put, like, in my head I'm saying that's the final time I'm going to be doing it. I think it is.
No.
And there's some real nice material
Bring it back.
Well,
bring
I can't it. Because I've been doing some of that stuff for 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
I can't
put it to bed.
Put it to bed. Stop doing it now, in a way.
Hang on. Like a bridge over cuddled water. I've got an idea for you.
Right.
It's called Like a Bridge Over Cuddled Water.
Love it.
And I'm getting my phone out because I was doing these, but no one could guess what it was.
Mm.
So now we've got Scroobius Pip to do it. So he's going to sing you a song.
Right.
You have to guess what it is.
Cuddle, 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 cuddle.
Jolene.
Yeah, really good. Do you want to hear the rest anyway?
Yeah.
Cuddle, 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 cuddle,
Yeah, that's good. You and what was the reason you couldn't do that?
Singing's not really my thing.
Oh, I see.
Yet to find my thing, actually. Yet to find it. Right, do you mind me asking a quite a personal question next?
No.
Are you romantic?
I think yes.
Okay, and what does your wife think?
Right. She thinks no. I think we're both romantic, actually.
That's nice.
I think we're both, and not just romantic in terms of us romantic sort of together. I think we're very romantic
with
about
other people.
No, I think we're romantic about sort of stuff. Like we're romantic about, like, kind of, I don't know, even
the
like
past.
Say again?
The past.
Oh yeah, about the past, but also like we'll see, like, you know, I don't know, if we walk somewhere and it's like a nice view, like we're romantic about a view, and like we'll imagine what's sort of like going on like a farm and like what the animals are. Like romantic in that kind of way. Yeah. Like idyllic, maybe, I guess.
Yeah, poetic.
But I mean, it might not be poetic, but kind of like a thing that we often do is if we see any animals, mostly dogs, we then sort of say out loud what we think is going on inside the dog's head.
That's nice.
And we even actually do it to Annie, actually, who's not a dog, she's my daughter.
That'd be a plot twist.
But because
she a dog.
Yes. Look that up in your book. Because obviously Annie can't speak, we will occasionally sort of voice her.
Yeah.
And it's sort of the same kind of idea. And often it's sort of ridiculous. Like we often pretend with dogs that they've got like colleagues. Like, the dog will be like, oh yes, my colleague, I'm just going over here to have a little look at the or if it's snuffling around, it's like, yes, I just thought I'd put something down, and then it wanders off, it's like, yes, I'm just gonna go and speak to a colleague. And so we'll occasionally animals or even objects. I mean, we'll sometimes do it with objects.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been time. I mean, oh God, I'm going down the rabbit hole now, which I have to stop myself because I felt like I did it on off menu and I came across as utterly mad. But even to the point of like, we will sometimes just hold up like a crisp and like just put it quite close to each other's face and sort of voice the crisp.
I love that. You're never bored then.
We're never bored.
I love that.
Never bored.
You know, you see people at couples at a restaurant and they're not talking to each other.
Oh, yeah.
You know, get creative, guys. Get
I love that.
I do love that because it makes you think, God, at least I'm not there.
We do think that we sometimes talk like almost too much. Like the house is so noisy. There's so much just chat, like inane chat. Like it's chat that doesn't even need to be said. But for when I proposed,
here we go. This is my territory. I love this.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
For Cuddle Club, an exclusive.
Exclusive. She knows, obviously.
Yeah, she knows. We've been married for a while. So she's an amazing pianist.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm laughing.
I don't know why you're laughing, but I love that. Well, because I think I was worried what was going to fall. Yeah.
She's an amazing. She gave me a funny look. Okay. She's amazing what? Yeah. She's an amazing pianist.
Yeah.
Like proper, you know, like concert pianist, like level.
Wow.
She's incredible.
Wow.
And we met through playing in an orchestra together. It's how we met. Mm-hmm. And she also plays the viola and I play violin. So that's how we met in the orchestra. And at some point early on, she'd been talking about these transcriptions of Beethoven's symphonies written for two pianos. So for four hands on one piano. So they're the symphonic works, but rewritten for four hands on a piano.
Four hands on one piano.
So yeah, two people sat at the same, but at the same piano, rather than two pianos.
That's hard.
It's four. So, you know, someone's up here and someone's down here. And you know, you can create an amazing sort of sound because it's sort of taking the whole kind of orchestral score and making it into four hands on a piano. Like, but it's, you know, beefed out. And anyway, she was talking about one and I was like, I should secretly learn. And so I can play piano, but I learned by ear. So I was never taught piano. So I can only play by listening and then sort of really slowly, painstakingly working it out. But then then it's committed to memory.
Mm.
So then I will sort of almost sort of never forget it.
If I
sort of keep it. It's sort of then in the sort of fingers almost, like a muscle memory thing. So I So I knew what her favourite movement was from actually the second movement of Beethoven's Fifth, which is a really nice slow movement. So it's sort of within my abilities to be able to learn it. So I secretly learnt it. And then it was the anniversary of us getting together, which is when I proposed. It happened to also be Easter Sunday that year. It's not the same every year. And just put that in for any Christians out there.
I do know. Yeah, it's not the same every year. Yeah.
And I got her a little present, and the present was this score of this music. And I was like, oh, well, let's just try and play it. And she knew that there'd be no sort of way I could play it. And anyway, we were playing. And then on the very last page, she turned over on her part of the score and said, "We married."
Oh,
so yeah, so that's my romantic story.
That's lovely.
And now we just do voices pretending we're crisps.
Yeah. And she said yes.
Yeah,
that's lovely.
Proposed with a necklace rather than a ring.
Oh, bit different.
Well, a bit different, but also just thought, I just thought she would want to choose the ring.
Let a chick choose her own ring sometimes, yeah. You're not going to get that right first time, are you?
No, and famously, I did then order a ring from Cornwall, which we both love Cornwall.
Yeah.
And it was made of like recycled sort of Cornish gold or something.
Mm.
And it arrived, and to be fair, and she's very dainty because she's a pianist, very sort of slim fingers and everything. She called it, I think she nicknamed it Builder's Toe Ring.
Right,
because it was quite thick and chunky. And so we did actually get that remelted, and that's now my ring.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but bear in mind imagine where it started out as.
Yeah.
Small and thick. And so it just looked a lot thinner on the website.
Yeah.
Builder's Toe Ring.
Well, you could put this music under anything.
Were you going to ask me about cuddles?
Well, to be honest, the format of the podcast is very light.
Oh, right. I'm not.
I barely mentioned the word cuddle.
Oh, okay. That's just a sort of a way in. I feel like, because I'm quite short, if not very short, whenever if I was to have a cuddle or a hug or something like that, I literally go on tiptoe. Inevitably, I have to go on tiptoes to make it sort of not weird. Otherwise, I'm sort of hugging someone.
So that's not weird. You on tiptoes is not weird.
Well, then I've realised that I think it looks a bit weirder because suddenly I get in and then I kind of go up a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I'm going. And obviously, I can't get up that far. I'm probably increasing my height by 3-4 inches.
Maybe sort of stand on a chair before you go in.
Before a hug.
Mm.
Yeah.
So best, worst or weirdest, it's you, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they're all three were me in the end.
In the end.
Oh, I won't ask you again, but I tell you who will, it's Alan de Botton.
That was Luke on keys, if you can believe.
Alan de Botton.
You know Alan de Botton.
I know of him, yeah. I don't know him, no.
I don't know him. Okay, pick a card. Oh, this is up your street.
It's like a trick.
Pick a card, any card.
Oh, I love it. Okay.
That makes you feel at home, Busman's
okay,
holiday.
Okay, got one. So hang on. Any side?
Yeah, any side. He does get a bit serious, so you don't have to answer.
Okay. What's currently not quite right about your social life?
Oh, I'd love to know.
Oh, that's a good one. Not quite right? Well, I mean, I can answer it in two words, three kids. But to be honest, we've been quite sociable. Who have you been hanging out with? A lot of like friends from like university. We're seeing a load of friends who I know from school, actually.
Mm.
Well, two of which who I know from school back in Leeds, and we're going to the Highlands together next week.
That's nice. They're not like professional comedians. They're not a bit boring.
No, they're great, actually. In fact, well, Lee is one of them. He's sort of who Miss Swallow's based on. So he's a barrel of laughs.
Oh, that's great.
And Vix is like one of my oldest friends as well. So she, we'll have a great old time.
That's lovely.
So they're all coming with their partners and it's great, actually, because we'd booked it to go with the kids, but there were more rooms, and we were like, the thing is, we'll just get scared. We will just get scared. In the middle of nowhere. It's literally in the middle of nowhere in the Highlands. And it'll be beautiful. And
Is Vic quite well built?
Yeah, but what they don't know is that they're on like night security. And so we just thought that we would hire security in the way of having friends just come and
the one that Mr. Swallow's really based on, Double Hard Bars, did I imagine?
Yeah, with that voice, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, don't worry about that. It's just a case of me coming round and cuddling you and hello?
Okay, last question. Just a quick one. What's life all about?
For me personally, well, I think it's about, I mean, ultimately about, and I accept I'm in a very privileged position in terms of I am lucky to do something that I love. But that feels good. To be able to do something, you know, for your work, something that you get paid for.
Yeah.
To be able to do that and it actually also be the thing that you really love. And you get to meet so many people.
Yeah.
That's good. And you get to meet different people for every new bit of the job, really. You know, every project you sort of take on, you end up meeting new people.
So I guess life is about work. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, that's bad, isn't it?
It's
about being happy.
It's about being happy.
It's about being happy.
It's about doing things
and because work, obviously, inevitably, part of your life has to be about work. To be able to, for that bit, which usually is the bit that's like, oh, God, work. And don't get me wrong, I've been in jobs, even acting jobs, where it sometimes felt like work. But, you know, prior to then, temping and doing all sorts, you know, that has probably felt like work. But to be at a stage now where it's sort of like, oh, yeah, I really love that. It's great fun.
I don't want to get too trite, but I am trying to find the joy, if you'll allow me to be serious for a second. I'm trying to find the joy in little things. So when I have to go for a run, I say, you don't have to go for a run. You want to go for a run because you're lucky to use your body.
Yes.
And you can go in the park. Aren't you lucky? And then you reframe it. And it really does help.
Oh, it completely does.
Yeah.
Becca and I were discussing, because she's on maternity leave at the moment.
Yeah.
From teaching. So she's obviously been doing a lot with Annie, especially if I've been filming or at work or something, and or writing. And occasionally, not that I would kind of get like, but you know, at the end of a day and the kids are going to spend emptying the dishwasher, we try and sort of reframe it as like, oh, I'm lucky to be emptying the dishwasher because I've been, you know, I've not had to deal with like a baby like all day. Yeah, and you know, like, so we kind of try and reframe our sort of way. But also thinking about castings. Not at the moment, because obviously all the strikes. But,
and good luck to them.
And good luck to them.
Good luck to them, yeah.
Rather than thinking, oh, I'm nervous about an audition or something, try and just change the word nervous to excited.
Yeah, that's what Jimmy Carr does, and he's done all right.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, apparently. I could have made that up, though.
Well, no, it sounds quite positive.
Sometimes I don't know if I'm making stuff up.
That's the problem with this podcast.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to talk to
Thank you. Thank
you. People, go see your show.
Oh, yes. 5th to the 9th of September at the Duke of York Theatre in London's West End.
It comes around quicker than you think, and it will sell out. So if you don't get your ticket, you're a fucking mug. Do you mind saying that into the micro?
If you could possibly be kind enough to buy a ticket, I'd be much appreciated. If you don't, yes, you are a fucking mug.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That was Nick Mohammed. What a nice guy. Very grounded, very lovely, very real, very funny. Do go see his show, The Very Best and Worst of Mr. Swallow, at the Duke of York's Theatre. And you can buy tickets right now if there's any left. His show is on from the 5th to the 9th of September. And you can get tickets from berksnest.com/Nick. And you can buy my book. I don't know if I've mentioned it. It's called What's That Lady Doing? Full Starts and Happy Endings. It was out yesterday. Oh, I'm scared what mummy's going to say. Might be able to still get signed copies from Waterstones. You can get them from, of course, all the usual places. You can get the Audible one. That's for your ears. And you should buy a couple of copies, because I think once you've read it, you're going to think, that blew me away. I need to get one for Colin or whoever's close to you. Okay, love.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you, bye.